It is a pleasure to introduce our next instructor based in New Delhi, India. Ashish Keela serves as director of Perfect Group in India. He looks after the strategic functions at the group and manages the family office fund. Ashish previously worked with leading investment banks, Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley, in their equity research division. He is a chartered accountant and holds an MBA degree from MDI Gurgaon. On behalf of the MY Global membership community, a very warm welcome to you, Ashish. Please go ahead.
So good afternoon, everyone. I would like to thank MY Global and John for giving us this opportunity to present our idea. So welcome everyone to Best Ideas 2019. So just a standard disclaimer that this is basically an educational presentation. It is not recommending you to buy this stock. It is just telling you a framework, how to look at a stock and learn from it. We are not SEBI registered advisors, and we might be invested in the stock. Similarly, the SEBI RA regulations we need to follow in India, that we have investment in the subject company, and the further disclaimers are given here. Just to acknowledge our chairman, Mr. RA Keela, who has been the guiding light for the group and has been giving us directions on how to take it forward. My team, without which I wouldn't have been able to make this presentation, and my friend Abhinav Mansinka, who brought this idea to a notice and has been a sounding board for this idea. I've been blessed to be learning from various role models early in my life. Professor Sanjay Bakshi, Monish Pabrai, and a host of other people. Just a small acknowledgement from our side. So just to go about how we prepare a framework. So every year when we are studying and investing, we come out with issues which we are facing that year. And based on that, we try to make a presentation on what topic we are facing that year. And then we present at various forums, try to get the feedback also. So this is our journey in terms of role of management, our process of investing, how expensive companies need to be valued, or great companies cannot be valued using standard valuation matrix, the capacity to suffer, and the sidecar investing. So today's roadmap would be this for the idea presentation. We'll start with a small quiz. So what constitutes Buffett's portfolio as on June 18? So if you think of a question, where do you think has he invested a big chunk of his portfolio? Almost 40%. It would be financial services. Similarly, which sector do you think has given one of the best returns in the markets, in Indian markets? Again, banking financial sector is in the top quartile there also. So you see that this sector has been one of the best performers in the Indian markets as well, and is a big chunk of one of the greatest value investors the world has seen, Mr. Warren Buffett also. So coming over to the banking industry. So what Buffett and Munger say for banks, that once we are going to function as a society, we will always need one of the following: a bank account, a business loan, a car loan, a mortgage. And with each of these accounts or loans, there'll be small fees being charged by the bank for the service it is providing. So it's kind of a toll bridge monopoly on whatever financial transactions are happening in the system. Now, coming over to private banks versus public sector banks. Now, here are a few news items wherein they mention the banks wrote off almost 3.6 lakh crore rupees in the last 10 years. Then there's a small cartoon where one of the famous cartoonists, R.K. Lakshman, says, "See, we have a loan scheme. I assure you, it is equally good. Why don't you try that instead?" Now, this is what a bank manager is saying to robbers who have come to rob the bank. This again highlights the poor state of public sector banks in the country, in our country, India. Just look at the NPAs, how they have shot up for public sector banks from 2.8% to 11.8%. So what again Mr. Buffett says for this is that you should know the culture of the management and institution before making the decision to buy a bank. It's extremely important. So coming over to banking value migration. So have a look. Initially, size used to matter. The bigger an institution or a bank, the more chances of it becoming successful. It moved towards faster speed and agility. And now it is more towards chess. Which niche have you found? How are you serving your customer better? What is your competitive advantage versus the other? Now, this is an extremely important book by Adrian Slotsky called Value Migration. And I would recommend all my viewers to please read this. And this is helpful in a lot of frameworks when while investing. Now, some might say that this theme of value migration from PSU bank to private bank has been talked about for a very long time. But if you just see, even though the value has migrated in terms of the deposit share or the advances share, still there's a lot of pie left with the public sector banks. Public sector banks still own close to 70% in both deposits and advances. So there is still a lot of share which can move from public sector banks to private sector banks for the reasons discussed earlier in terms of better culture, more nimble, more agile, more focus on niche, and a better credit underwriting process. So coming over to the best private banks. So in the roadmap, what we're trying to do is starting with the industry, how private banks are better, and then trying to come which are the good private banks out in the country. So if you look over the last decade or so, or even more than that, you have three banks which have stood out: SDFC Bank, Kotak Mahindra Bank, IndusInd Bank. Almost two decades record, all of them have fabulous CAGR in terms of their top line growth. So one would say that today, one of the largest banks, SDFC Bank, is still less than 10% of the banking sector. Then why are we looking at other stocks? It is because the base effect starts slowing down the CAGR growth. Let me show you. Now, this is the journey of how SDFC has grown its profits. Today's idea, DCB Bank. Again, what Warren Buffett says here is, if you have a well-run bank, you don't need to be the number one bank in an area. Today's roadmap, we will be discussing how the new management came in, what culture they brought in, how was their performance, the peer comparison, and the valuations. So this was the phase before the new management came in. If you see, the bank was not performing well and new talent was required for the bank. The bank was going through a very bad period from FY04 to FY09. So the new management by Mr. Muli Natarajan came in 2009. He had a long career history of working with premier banks like Standard Chartered, Citi and American Express. When the board announced his appointment, they mentioned that the going is to be tough and we need a strong hand at the wheel. And we have found such a person. So the steps initiated by the new management, they started exiting from higher risk assets like personal loans, commercial vehicles and construction equipment. They started reducing the corporate banking portfolio. They started focusing on low cost deposit growth, reduction of bulk deposits. They started focusing on growing the retail, micro SME and SME segment. There was a relentless focus on cost to income ratio and stringent credit underwriting operations. Look how the loan book got aligned in favor of secure mortgages from a low of 8% in FY09 to 40% in FY18. Focus on secured book. Muli Natarajan, the CEO of the company, said that if you see, we are focused on SMEs and we will be doing secured transactions to SMEs. So the bank stopped unsecured personal loans August 08 and only 5% of lending is done to micro institutions. That too to complete the weaker section priority sector. through which it ties up with other MFIs. So what I'm trying to show here is how the management thought about risky assets. What views do they have about assets which are higher risk and the bank will be able to manage them or not? So as I mentioned about microfinance, it's a sector which is extremely tough to manage, and the bank is cognizant of the fact that it is not following other people blindly into every other area just because there is growth. Look at the granularity of the loan book portfolio. 70% of the loans are less than 3 crores, and the average ticket size is around 40 to 50 lakhs. Look at the security of the portfolio. 96% of the loan book is secured. It was 71% FY09, and it is moved to 96% of the loan book. This again shows how the management has performed on the commitments it made. Now let's come to the diversification of the loan book. You see, it is well diversified across industries: trade, retail, construction, agriculture. There is no one industry which can bring down the entire bank. In the last crisis which has happened in the Indian markets a few months back, a lot of companies which are only focused on real estate had tough times because of the sector going down. The bank is cognizant of the fact that they don't want to tie their fortunes to one sector. Look at how the bank funds its assets, the liability portfolio. See how the liability portfolio is consistently going in favor of retail deposits. Now, friends, retail deposits are far more stickier and do not move with small percentage points. These are long-term sticky assets, and the bank is consistently focusing on increasing the retail deposits within the overall pie. Look at how the provision coverage ratio of the NPAs is at such a high percentage throughout the journey of the bank. Now coming over to the culture of the bank. After getting numbers and branches, the bank said we want to double our branches from 80 to 160. From June 2009, they went to 160 branches, and they said that we want to further double our branches. Now their reason for doubling the branches was that many new banks were coming up, and they thought that if they keep sitting idle, they would have the first mover advantage in that location. So they thought, why shouldn't we go ahead and get that market share? Now the investors and the street, the analyst community protested a lot, saying that because you will double your branches, you will increase your cost income ratio, and you will take a big hit in ROA and ROE. And that means foregoing short-term returns. Now, please understand, for a bank, a share price is the currency to raise funds. No bank can ignore the markets. Still, this bank went ahead and said that we think this is a strategy which is required. Keeping still may be a less risk, but please understand that we have performance of the last 8 years under our belt, where we have steadied the ship. We have taken the bank to this stage. Our model is ready. It is not untested. And if, please see the last line, which I have specifically made it bold, that if on the way we find that there are challenges which we didn't expect, we will fine tune our approach. This shows that the management is a learning machine, that if they think on the way ahead there will be challenges which they cannot surmount, they will change the strategy also. They are not headstrong on this, but they certainly believe that inertia or lying idle is not the way ahead. See this, if you read Andy Grove's book, they also say like that, we have no option but to be paranoid. They cannot sit and wait for the competition to come in. And they are thinking long run, that while we might have short-term pain, in the long run, when we get benefits of this expansion, of this reach, of mobilizing more retail deposits, of going in those areas before other banks, those assets will stay sticky with us and stay with us for long run. So this is how the OPEX to average assets and the ROE played out. As expected by the street, the ROE is dipped and the OPEX to average assets shot up, but the bank didn't forego their double branch expansion plan. They said, at the max, instead of 1 year, we will double it in 2 years, but we are going to go ahead with the plan. Now, here I would like to mention noted value investor Tom Russo, who mentioned the concept of capacity to suffer. Just reading a line out of it, that management has to take a decision to expand business, which could impact near-term reported earnings, but holds the future for long-term success and growth of the company. They should be ready to ignore the analyst and fund manager's short-term view. Tom Russo has time and again showed various companies which have thought through and done long-term expansion, ignoring the short-term street expectations, have done extremely well in the business. Coming over to the top management team culture, this is the October 2012 top management team. Out of that team now, you have only two mobility which has happened. One of them has become an entrepreneur and one of them has retired. All the other team members are intact. Now, this is a big achievement considering it's a small bank, which is an easy poaching target for the bigger banks. So no core team member has joined a competitive bank. In fact, in today's team, more new members have come in and they sticked around. This shows like it's a small family type of close-knit culture which is there in the bank, and again gives confidence on the people running behind it. Have another look at the divergence in NPA reported by the banks. Here mentions, because wherever you have complexity, you will have frauds and mistakes. You will have more of that in a company that shovels sand from a river and sells it. This will always be true of financial companies, including ones run by government. If you want accurate numbers of financial companies, you're in the wrong world. What he's trying to say is that in banking industry, it is extremely tough to get the true picture. Just look at the top banks I have mentioned here and the divergence. When I say divergence, when RBI does its audit of the NPAs reported by the banks, RBI, the central regulator here of the banks, it tries to bring out as per its assessment which NPAs have been underreported. Look at some of the banks. How much difference is there between the RBI reporting and the actual numbers reported? DCB consistently stands at 0% difference. This speaks volumes for the bank, which at a small size also is managing its ethics and governance. Again, some news items highlighting this divergence reported by other banks. Coming over to the performance of the bank. So what Buffett said about Bank of America, similarly, we think about DCB Bank. Buffett mentioned that Bank of America did a sensational job under Brian Moynihan, and he turned over a lot of rocks, cost a lot of money, and step by step, he set up the bank. Similarly, DCB Bank, as we showed earlier, took steps to improve the book for the long run, took steps to change the direction of the bank. And have a look at the performance here. How deposits have increased over 10 years, advances, ROAs, ROEs, net interest income, net interest margin, and how the GNPs have fallen. GNPA, gross net performing assets, no pledged shares. This snapshot shows the transformation of the bank over a period of almost 10 years. And this considerably shows how the bank has considerably improved its performance. This slide again shows that the bank is so small right now that it can double its balance sheet or its book every 3 years, and it has been doing for the past so many years. So that is the charming opportunity available for investors. Coming over to peer comparison with other banks. Look at the proportion of retail deposits of DCB Bank versus other banks. Again, it comes in the top quartile. Look at the loan yield which DCB is able to earn. Again, in the top quartile. Look at how well diversified is DCB Bank across geographies. Look at other banks. Most of them are concentrated from the area they originated, a GNK bank in Jammu and Kashmir, a CUB bank in the south. A DCB bank has specifically concentrated on tier 2 to tier 6 locations so that it doesn't have to face the bigger boys in tier 1 cities. It is instead trying to go in lesser banked or unbanked areas where it is either the first or the second bank out there in the region. Now, the good part of this diversification is any issues happening in one particular area don't affect the fortunes of the bank. For example, if there's a flood in that area or if there's some loan waiver in that area, any issues do not collapse the entire bank. Again, look at top 20 borrowers. Now, these are conscious decisions taken by the management that this could be a big risk area. So they again reduced it as a percentage of the loan book versus other banks. Look at restructured loan book. Restructuring is a common tactic employed by a lot of banks to avoid reporting NPAs. Now, again, here also, DCB has a negligible restructured loan book, which again shows that there is very little potential NPAs sitting out there, which can move from restructured loan book to NPA loan book. Again, a highlight of the excellent credit underwriting standards followed by DCB Bank. Look at the 5-year CAGR of DCB Bank. It has been doing pretty well compared to other banks. A 25% CAGR in advances. What does Warren Buffett say? Buffett says that you don't make money on tangible equity. You make money on the funds people give you and the difference between cost of those funds and what you lend them out. Basically, the net interest margin. Look at where DCB Bank stands. Among the top boys again at 4.16%. So what I'm trying to show with these slides is that almost on all metrics, DCB Bank is the leader. Cost of borrowing. DCB Bank in FY09, the first red box was at 8.43. See how it has come down to 6.22 in the current era. Again, this shows that banks which are consistently lowest cost structure will win. GNPS. Munger says, if a bank doesn't do dumb things on asset side, it will make book good money. Look at here. DCB Bank again among the top quartile banks in terms of the best asset quality there. And consequently, look at how the GNPS have fallen sharply. A small slide showing that even the best of the banks went through pain in the initial years. See how HDFC Bank started from 9% ROE, moved to 16, 22, and is now trading at an average of 17% ROE. DCB Bank was trading at 14% ROE earlier before its expansion, and management is guiding that they will move to 14% ROE very quickly, and in the long run, they also want to do 16 to 17% ROE. This is a slide which I mentioned earlier, that when a leader, HDFC Bank, has less than 10% market share, DCB market share is in decimals, something like a 0.2%. So even if it compounds for the next 30, 40 years, it can still compound for a very long time. It will still be very small in terms of market share. Buffett again mentions here, book value is not key to valuing banks. Earnings are. A bank that earns 1.3 to 1.4 on assets is going to end up selling on tangible book value. Here again, we show how DCB was earning 1.3-1.4%. Due to branch expansion, temporarily, the ROAs have gone down, but they are progressively moving up and will go up again back to the historical numbers. So this looks like an opportunity which the markets is given because of its branch expansion. Cost to income ratio. Again, they are steadily bringing down the cost to income ratio from the highs of 80% to now 55%, and they want to take it down to 50%. Coming over to valuations. Philip Fisher, the famous investor, has always mentioned in investing 90% is the management, 9% is the business, and only 1% is the things that matter, the other things that matter. So here we have tried to calculate the implied growth in book value for the next 10 years. So we have taken 10% as cost of capital, which we think as the opportunity cost. Buffett says we try to build conservatism in cash flows rather than discount rates. We follow the similar dictum. Similarly, we have taken exit price to book multiple of 2x to arrive at future book value per share and then discount it to present value. Our purpose in this has been to use the goal seek function to apply reverse DCF to come to the implied growth rate. So the logic to come to implied growth rate is what is the market forecasting growth rate for this bank? Michael Mubison also has an excellent book called Expectations Investing, which I would urge everybody to read. We also have a presentation on a blog, which is how to value companies using reverse DCF, which again the readers and the listeners of this presentation can go through for further detail on this. I'm just showing a snapshot that the book value started was 83 rupees. And at 9.5%, if the book value grows every year, the future book value goes to 204 rupees, which when applied exit price to book multiple of 2x comes to 410, discounted to today's price, the implied growth rate is 9.5%. So basically what we're trying to say is 9.5% is the implied growth in prices today at which the market is expecting that the book value will grow so that the value of the entire firm is today's market value. If the bank performs better than this, investors will make considerable money. Now let's see the track record of the bank in terms of growing its book value. Before Mulin Rajan, the new bank CEO, came in, the bank was growing at 10%. After its coming, it's growing at 21%. So basically, investors are saying that there is no benefit of Mulin Rajan coming in. They are not giving any benefit to the new CEO, new management, even after a demonstrated track record, and are still valuing the bank as per historical growth rates. This table again shows how the valuations could change further if we are more generous with the multiple at the time of exit. But being conservative, we have taken only 2x as the multiple, and we see immense potential here. Let me show it another slide. Munger has mentioned if a bank can earn 18% capital return on capital over next 20, 30 years, even if you pay an expensive price, you will end up with a fine result. Occasionally, you will find a human being who's so talented that he can do things that ordinary mortals can't. Now, as we've shown in the earlier slides, DCB fits all these criteria. Just look at the price to adjusted book value chart for this bank over its own history. Buffett mentions banking is not a favorite business of ours. They don't want to buy poorly managed bank at cheap prices. Their only interest is buying well-managed bank at fair prices. So look at this chart here also. DCB is trading at almost the average valuation it has traded over the last years despite its transformation. Now I'm showing relative valuation charts across all major banks. Just look in terms of the current ROE and price to book. DCB looks so much better than RBL. I'm sorry, RBL Bank and Kotak Mahindra Bank, and the targets given by the management for FY 20 and 21 for ROEs, it will become one of the most sought after banks versus the other highly valued banks like City Union Bank, IndusInd, and HDFC. So this shows again how attractive the bank has been valued currently. Just a small story to end. The compounding equation is F into P into 1 plus R raised to power N, where F is the future value and P is the present value. So to maximize returns, one can play either with the R or the N, R being the rate of return and N being the compounding period. So from the management's point of view, the management has exhibited capacity to suffer. And instead of focusing on maximizing the R, they are maximizing the N, the long run period. The pitfalls of maximizing the R, investors have seen in the companies like Valiant, which when trying to maximize this rate of return in the short run by increasing prices for customers, got a lot of regulatory and public wrath and brought down their business. Instead, DCB has invested ahead of time so that they can have a long compounding period ahead. Similarly, from an investor standpoint of view, if we try to keep shifting businesses in order to maximize the expected return, we need to understand the more decisions we take, the probability of wrong decisions compounds as we take more decisions. When we invest in businesses like DCB Bank, one can be invested for a very long time, and as I show in the compounding question, the result could be truly marvelous. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening to this. Please feel free to ask any questions. Our coordinates are given below.
Ashish, thank you very much for the presentation. Maybe you could just talk a little bit more about capital allocation and how do you expect the bank to allocate capital in the future? Are they going to reinvest? What do you see there?
Sure. So, if you see the history of the bank, how the new management changed the portfolio of the bank, they were very clear that we want to operate in secured loan portfolio. So, as I showed, they changed the portfolio to 96% secured. Now, the SME segment which they're targeting in India is extremely unbanked right now and has a huge potential. Still, almost 60%, 50% of the loan book is going to corporates for the entire banking arena. The SMEs will continue to gain market share in terms of banking access. And because DCB is focused on that bank for the next decades to come, it can continue investing with small and medium enterprises, continue lending money to them, and continue securing its loan book through property, mortgage, or other forms of security on collateral. And for capital allocation, because of its focus on the SME segment, their loan book will or asset quality will always be pristine. So they will not go to unsecured loan portfolio, or they will not go heavily on microfinance kind of portfolio, which will bring unnecessary risk onto the balance sheet of the bank. One needs to also understand, for a small and medium enterprise, the business is everything, his livelihood, his means of recognition in the society. So for him to default means he loses everything, his reputation, his image, his long life built standing in the society. So that is why you see very lesser defaults in this segment versus corporate segment, wherein large corporates run away from the country itself to avoid persecution by the banks.
And Ashish, if you could please talk a little bit more about management and what the long-term vision is. Do you expect the same management to stay in place for a very long time?
Sure. So coming over to the culture slide, where I showed how the management, when it came in 2009, and how it has not changed over the years, how none of the team members have left for other competing banks. From our discussions with the bank and our meetings with the management also, they come across as not a one-man army, but a system-driven or a purpose-driven organization, which is extremely focused. What Murali has done has created a culture of great people around him who believe in that philosophy of investing in small and medium enterprises, staying small, staying nimble, staying retail, focusing on that segment. Now, this philosophy is not going to change if one or two of them move out, because over the last 10, 15 years, all of them have been groomed in this philosophy. And the proof is in the pudding, because nobody has left in the last 10, 15 years. There are so many new banks which have come in the country. There is competition from other banks in terms of poaching. But you see, one has retired and one has become an entrepreneur. And if you see the current structure, you have many more people joining in. But once they come in the close circle of the top management, there is hardly any movement which goes or people leaving from that close circle. It speaks volumes about the great culture at the top management.
Ashish, thank you very much. I will leave it there. I would just encourage our members to follow up with you directly with their own thoughts and questions. And thank you for showing your contact information here on the screen.
Sure. Thank you, John. It has been a pleasure. Thank you, MI Global.
Thank you. Appreciate your time and sharing this idea with our community. Goodbye for now.
Thank you.